Great to be back with you. Another week of Play by Play presented by our friends at The Advocate. A busy, busy week behind us, and another busy week for some teams. It's continuing on into the postseason. For others, they're just cranking up conference play, but it is once again a busy time to be an LSU Tiger, and that's our job. With the illustrious Kent Lowe, I'm Chris Blair, and Kent will start with women's basketball, who finished up play in Greenville, South Carolina, the 2024 Women's Basketball Tournament. LSU, found a way to get to the championship game and took on South Carolina for the second time. Scary moment, I should say, in the game prior to the championship with last year Poa going down, and just a scary incident watching them tend to her on the floor. The good news is all indications are a lot of that was precautionary, which is great, and hopefully she'll be back and ready before the NCAA begins, after they have a week off before Selection Sunday. But again, they come up short to South Carolina in the championship game, but it was a great battle, really good basketball game. Unfortunately, there at the end, a little extracurricular probably is the big headline coming out of the game. But if you just watch the action, two great teams really going at it.
Yeah, it really was. It was a good weekend for LSU. What a great start against Auburn. You know, when they got out 21-0, and I heard Patrick at one point, LSU was up 4 touchdowns in that game, you know. But it was a good weekend. A lot of things that could have gone wrong. You know, Angel hurt her ankle a little bit. Of course, the Poa situation, hopefully she'll be fine when we get to NCAA tournament. And, of course, Williams was able to play a little bit in the finals, so that's good. Now it's just wait for Selection Sunday, which is good. Time to rest, time to work on a few things and make a few corrections and kind of get ready, because it's still a week and a half away for the women from when they play their first game. Selection Sunday coming up this Sunday. And we'll know who's coming to the Maravich Center, because LSU will definitely host the first two rounds.
No question about it. They will host the first two rounds here in the NCAA tournament as they make a run to repeat as national champions. And again, playing extremely well. And as Kent said, hopefully they use the week and a half to get everybody healthy, maybe get back or closer to full strength when they make this March Madness run. Men's basketball finished up the regular season at home on Saturday. Good bounce back win after falling at Arkansas during the midweek. They come back, a little shaky there in the first half, struggled to get the shots to go down. I give Missouri a lot of credit. They were 0-17. I thought defensively, having watched Missouri a couple of times, I thought they looked like a different team defensively. They were right there in the chest on every dribble and every pass. But then LSU got a big run, I think 23-4 at one point, kind of built up a double-digit lead, led by as many as 21 with 4:40 to play. Got a little sloppy towards the end, a couple of turnovers, didn't handle the press as well, and Missouri made it a lot closer than it needed to be, which was unfortunate because it's an 84-80 victory and maybe doesn't tell the story of how well LSU played, certainly in the second half.
Well, I think the key thing at this moment with this program, a win is a win. And I think that's something that Coach McMahon emphasized in the post game. And the main thing is, great way for five guys who were playing their last regular season home game in the Maravich Center to go out. Trey Hannibal, second year here, third year with Coach McMahon, and Wani Wilkinson, who's a four-year letterman. And then the three grad transfers, Jordan Wright, Hunter Dean, and Will Baker. I mean, they have done so much for this program this year. And as Coach McMahon said postgame, 9-9 is something this year that can be celebrated, because it's a gradual process. It's not an easy process to building this program. But 23 months ago, there was no coach. There was no coaching staff. There were no players. And here we are now, going to the NCAA tournament, finishing in the top half of the league, tied for seventh will be the 8th seed playing Mississippi State on Thursday afternoon. And you're looking at in the talk to be in postseason basketball in the NIT. And, of course, obviously all 14 teams could run the table and win the tournament and be in the NCAA. But to be in NIT talk right now with this team, with where this program was 23 months ago, I think that's pretty doggone good. And to see the way our fans responded, the true LSU basketball fans that were there Saturday night, was really heartwarming.
It was. And again, Kent kind of told you why. The progress certainly is easily to be seen. Seven more wins in conference play than a year ago. Trey Hannibal, by the way, I think is going to be one of those guys, along with the four others that you mentioned, that truly would be the cornerstone of the foundation of this program moving forward. And Trey, career high on Saturday, led the way with 24 points, was spectacular and really has been down the stretch this season after being thrust into the point guard position. And he's kind of the point guard and has been for several weeks now. Let's talk to, again, should say, Mississippi State and LSU going to battle on Thursday, 12 noon in Nashville. The other progress is, again, avoiding the first day of the SEC tournament, which the Tigers did again. So they will start the first game of the second day, 12 noon tip-off Central Time, a rematch with Mississippi State and LSU. And I will say this, Mississippi State won the first meeting here in Baton Rouge a couple of weeks ago, 87-67. It was a game that LSU did not play very well. I mean,
Coming off South Carolina and Kentucky.
Right, and tip your cap, Mississippi State, you know, with Hubbard scoring a gazillion points and Tolu Smith kind of anchoring things in the paint, they deserved to get that win. But I don't think it was LSU's best effort and may have been kind of an emotional crash after those previous two wins. So they'll try it again on Thursday at 12 noon in Nashville. Gymnastics, again, continuing this theme with LSU just winning, winning, winning. They had the podium event just down the road at the Raising Cane Center on Friday. Another 198 score for Jay Clark and LSU Gymnastics. It's great to get the win. It's great to get points from a road victory, which will help them in the postseason. And they'll be back this coming Friday in the PMAC, back inside the Maravich Center, 7:30 against North Carolina. Again, your Tigers, I think, number two in the land.
Yep, and Haley Bryant, a couple of tens, just an amazing performance on the podium at the River Center. And now senior night coming up for these Tigers. I think there are like 10 or 11 of them on this roster, and it should be a lot of fun before another large crowd Friday night in the Maravich Center.
All right, real quickly, coming up, by the way, softball doing their thing, 22-0 now on the season, 3-0 in SEC play as they went to Lexington this past week on a cold and somewhat rainy weekend and able to sweep the Wildcats. But want to mention beach volleyball here as well. Coming up,
they're in California, I believe, this weekend.
Yeah, they're headed to the West Coast. They've got Cal, UCLA, Loyola Marymount, and Hawaii all taking place as the East meets West Invitational in Manhattan Beach, which should be a nice little locale for some beach volleyball.
We didn't get that trip, did we?
No, we're going to Nashville.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah, nothing wrong with Nashville.
Oh, no, way better than Gainesville.
So men's golf action as we tape on Monday. They're playing actually right down the road, Chris and Lafayette at the Louisiana Classics. Always a big tournament, but that's all day on this Monday, and Tuesday is the final round of that event. So really as close a chance as you get to see them in action. So if you're in that area watching us, maybe stop over and watch the men's golf team and several other good golf teams in action.
All right, I mentioned softball. Allie Newland, one of the key players for the Tigers this season, the senior outfielder. She's going to join us next, kind of recap the 22-0 start and also learn a little bit more about her. But before we go to break, Kent, are you packed? You got your cowboy boots and Stetson ready to go to Music City?
I am not packed yet, but I will see if I can squeeze that into the luggage before I do that.
Yeah, save some room for the boots.
Yes.
We'll take the time out. We come back. Allie Newland is going to join us from LSU Softball here on Play-By-Play, presented by our friends at The Advocate. Welcome back, everybody, to Play by Play, again presented by our friends at The Advocate. As we told you in the first segment on the rundown of what's happening at LSU Athletics, one of the bigger stories, if not the biggest story, here in the spring is LSU softball off to an incredible start. Undefeated, coming off a great trip to my neck of the woods, used to be neck of the woods, the Commonwealth of Kentucky. They took care of the Wildcats, sweeping Kentucky over the weekend. And we are thrilled to have our first student athlete. We've had coaches, we've had administrators, we've had staff.
People off the street.
Yeah, just random people that wander in. But we are thrilled to have Allie Newland join us from LSU softball. Allie, first off, thanks. You are the first student athlete to join us here on Play by Play. And congratulations on the start to LSU softball, and congratulations on getting off to a 3-0 start in the SEC. But it's great to see you.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Wow. You know, Kent, we kind of talked about how incredible, and Allie, I think you would agree, that right now it is to be an LSU Tiger. I mean, you know, I've said it here, I think, on the show a couple of times. All they do is win, win, win.
Yeah.
And LSU softball, a big part of that. What's it been like? How does Beth Tarina, you know, feel about, you know, keeping your guys' feet on the ground? Because it's an incredible start to the season. How are you guys staying grounded, taking it one game at a time?
Yeah, I think we definitely have been doing a good job of that. There's always stuff that we can work on. But what a cool thing to be 22-0, to be the only undefeated team in the country. It's been awesome, but I also think that it's been something that we knew we were capable of. So super proud to be where we are, but I think that we are the least surprised. We knew how talented this team was. We knew how good we were going to be, and we knew what we were capable of. But 3-0 in the SEC is 3-0 in the SEC. Like, if you can sweep a game in this or sweep a weekend in this conference, it is something to be proud of and not something to be taken lightly. She does a fantastic job of keeping our feet on the ground because, like I said, we always have things that we can work on, and she'll always remind us of that there are things we can do better. But a great, great start. We've been really, really proud of the things we've been able to accomplish.
Of course, Allie is senior outfielder for LSU softball, and Kent, one of the heroes from this weekend, drove in the winning run on Saturday to get the 4-3 win over Kentucky to take the series that would go on to win on Sunday. And again, she mentioned how, you know, Beth Tarina does a pretty good job of, okay, we won yesterday, that does nothing for us today.
Yeah.
Or next week. And they've been able to just kind of rinse and repeat and go to 22-0.
Well, the thing I notice, and Allie, if you could talk about this, is when you watch this team, and obviously when you watch them on TV as well, you get a lot of dugout shots and you see kind of the whole perspective. But I mean, one, this weekend a couple of times when things could have gone either way, there wasn't any panic. You didn't see anybody, you know, upset. Everybody very positive when you watch it. And this team seems to have a togetherness and a chemistry that I haven't seen in a couple of years. You know, this team really seems to have a bond that works really well together.
Yeah, I would say this is maybe the most together team that I have played on since I've been here, to use your togetherness word. I think it was a very apt one. But to talk about how there was no panic, I think this team is so old. We have a ton of seniors on the field, obviously, and there's really nothing that we haven't been through. Walk-offs, we've lost at a regional, we've won at a regional, we've been to Arizona, we've been, like, all of those things. We've really just done it all, so nothing this year should surprise us. And it's something we've been saying all year, that we'll continue to just work to our advantage. The freshmen that we have on the field now, they get to watch Taylor Pleasance and Carly Petty, who have, it seems like, a million college innings played, right? But they get to watch them just not be shaken by anything. They get to watch them be unflappable. And it really does make a difference to look across the field and the person next to you not be scared. You're like, oh, well, I have this then. So definitely something that has served us well so far, and I think will continue to serve us well going forward.
You know, outfield has been a spot where LSU has had some amazing players over the years, and Allie and Sierra Briggs, and just everybody out there just adds to it this year. But, I mean, you have probably heard the tradition of these great outfielders, the Andrews and all those people. And I mean, it's got to make you proud, the work y'all put in to follow in that tradition out there.
Absolutely. This is Outfield U, without a doubt. I think being able to, because of COVID, I think that a ton of bad things came out of COVID, but I got to play the outfield with Aliyah Andrews and Taryn Antoine for a year. Two incredible LSU outfielders, and they really are the difference maker in why I'm the outfielder that I am today. I've gotten to play with some incredible athletes who just taught me how to play with no fear, who taught me to go catch everything, and we can figure it out after that. But to get to play with them certainly was the jump start to my career out there. They taught me everything I know. But it's really, really awesome to be a part of Outfield U and to get to continue that tradition with Sierra and the people who are there now.
Is that the key to being, maybe a great outfielder instead of just an average outfielder, that no fear factor, that go after everything and take those chances that turn into these wonderful plays that we see all the time?
Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference in softball in general. Like, you can't play it scared. You just can't. This game will remind you really quickly how difficult it is. And so I think if you play it scared, it just makes it harder. But fearless was always what Aliyah Andrews tried to be. That was her word, and it was what made her so good. So I think she has certainly passed that onto us. And something my dad used to always tell me when I was younger was nobody ever got on SportsCenter playing the ball on a hop. And I have taken that one to heart. And you have to want to make the great play in order to make them. They don't happen by accident. There's a ton of work that goes into it, obviously, but once the lights come on, you just have to go. And if you're not ready to do that, then you're definitely not ready to play the outfield here.
Well, again, Allie Newland, our guest this week, talking LSU softball here. Allie, I'm going to brag on you a little bit because you mentioned some of your teammates' names. But these numbers, a great teammate always talks about the other guys or other gals. But you're batting .391, 22 hits, 6 doubles, 4 home runs, 24 runs batted in, 16 runs scored. So congratulations to your start on the season.
Thank you.
But you mentioned your father, and I wanted to go back because you grew up or finished high school in Bremen, Georgia, which is west of Atlanta. And I know your father played at both Young Harris and Georgia. Young Harris there in the northern part of the state of Georgia, near the North Carolina and, I guess, Tennessee lines. Your mother also played softball at Young Harris. So two questions. I have to imagine, as you said, your dad's giving you a lot of advice. I'm sure your mother has as well. How did Beth Tarina and LSU softball get you out of the Peach State here to Baton Rouge? And what was it like growing up in a household that probably paid a lot of attention to what was happening on the diamond?
Yeah, a house full of ballers for sure. I've got a younger brother now who's 15 who is doing his own thing. He's an awesome, awesome lacrosse player and football player, so it's been so cool to watch him grow up and continue to be great at things and continue that our family does. We like to play with the ball. And so to get to do it with him and grow up with him has been really cool. But I honestly didn't get a ton of interest in the Peach State as far as like from like UGA or from some of those schools. So to me, I was very young. So it was before the recruiting rule had changed. I had been committed here since I was a freshman in high school. And so I took all of my visits in like eighth grade in my freshman year.
Wow.
So for me, everything had to check the box, right? Like, I don't know. You come on a visit and you're 14 years old and they're like, hey, what's your major going to be? And I was like, come on, man. I don't know. I thought I wanted to be an engineer for a long time. And here I am on the podcast with you guys. So plans don't work out all the time. But I think LSU just really checked the box, like in every area. I wanted a staff that was going to care about the woman that I walked out of here as and not just the softball player. I wanted to be a part of a family and somebody who, or not somebody, but something who would ride or die by the uniform that they wore. And I think that Baton Rouge does that. There's no place like Baton Rouge who cares about their sports like they do LSU. I knew I wanted to be a part of that and be in a college town like that. And the other thing was I knew that I wanted to go to a place that supported women's athletics the way that LSU does. Like, you see the mic. We have the nicest indoor facility on campus, and it's a softball team. That's unheard of throughout the country. Gymnastics has the other nicest facility on campus and are doing incredible things year in and year out. You've seen the way that our women's basketball team has been supported in the last few years. That was really important to me going through the process. I didn't want to be like a statistic at the school I was going to be at. I wanted to be supported and be a part of an athletic department that wanted us to succeed as much as they wanted the football team to succeed.
Well, again, you are certainly much more than a statistic, even though you're adding a bunch of stats to this LSU softball team that, again, is off to a 22-0 start, 3-0 in the SEC. You mentioned the mic. You mentioned the facilities. And one of the things that, again, having been here over 8 years, that it still gets me when I go to Tiger Stadium, when I go to the box, when I take mm-hmm. in, I get a chance usually before baseball starts to take in a game at Tiger Park. And it is one of the most picturesque places to watch a game, any sport. But do you ever find that you go in there some days, either at practice mm-hmm. or before a game, and go, this is just a great place to play?
Every day. I still remember the first time that I saw my name on a uniform like it was yesterday. Getting to play left field in Tiger Park is an unbelievable experience every time I jog out there. I will never get used to running out of the tunnel toward the people on the berm who can't wait for me to come out there. But every game that we play, I'm like, holy cow, I really play softball here. Like, I really am wearing LSU across my chest right now. It's a surreal experience and one that I couldn't be more grateful for, and definitely one of the most beautiful places to play. But it's all of the rest of the things about Tiger Park and about this program and this university that make it what it is.
You know, the crowd atmosphere at Tiger Park mm-hmm. is what I love. And, you know, it's been that way from the beginning of the program. Fans really took to softball very quickly. And when we moved over to Tiger Park, it just amped it up that much more. And it's got to be great out there with all those fans on the berm.
Yes.
I mean, that's got to be something. You know, we see it from afar up in the box up there, but it's got to be, when they're right on you out there, that's got to be a lot of fun. A lot of kids, a lot
yes.
of families out there.
Yeah, it's an experience unique to Tiger Park for sure. But it has been one of the premier experiences of my life to play left field here, to get to interact with those people every day. I am so thankful that left field is where I ended up, because I really am. Like, I love to interact with the fans. They're the people who fill the seats and give me the opportunity to play here. So to get to hang out with them and laugh with them and dive for every ball with them is really, really cool and unique to hear.
You know, it's one of the things, Ken, I've said, you know, taking in a game there. I remember telling my wife, I said, this is like coming to a softball game, but it's kind of got a Jimmy Buffett concert feel to it, which is right up my alley. And I think that's part of the reason that a lot of fans love going, number one, because the team and the competition is so great year in and year out, but also just, as you said, the atmosphere, the noise, the excitement.
Yeah.
The LSU softball puts on one heck of a show. So if you haven't taken it in, we certainly invite you to do so. Going to be some great games coming up, which we'll touch on in just a bit.
Check out BRQ Seafood and Barbecue, the official catering service of LSU Athletics, and your top pick for victorious celebrations and special occasions. Explore our daily specials and catering options, or reserve your table at www.brqrestaurant.com. Experience unforgettable moments at BRQ Seafood and Barbecue.
Let's talk about this 22-0 now. I mean, this hasn't been against like the weak sisters of the poor junior college.
No.
I mean, you played some really great teams, Northwestern, Oklahoma State, Illinois, and McNeese gave you a good game. I mean, there have been some tough battles in this 22-0 streak.
Absolutely. We have an incredibly, incredibly talented non-conference schedule. They were very, very good softball teams, and not any that we overlooked, that's for sure. We know McNeese is going to give us their best every time they come here. They're a great team. They're very well coached. And definitely had our money's worth out for us on a couple of those 22 for sure. But credit to this team and how hard they've worked to put themselves in a position and ourselves in a position to be 22-0.
There was this grand slam someone hit, against Northwestern.
That was a pretty cool moment.
I
don't think I could hear for like the next day and a half from everybody hitting my helmet. Don't tell Pam, but might have needed concussion protocol there. But Only 4 of 13 runs, though. The rest of this offense is incredible and so, so talented. They, I was talking to someone earlier, but this team just has so many ways to win. We can out-pitch you. We can out-hit you. We can play defense like nobody's business. We can certainly play the outfield like nobody's business here. And so I've been proud to watch us find ways to win. We won 13-12. We've won 2-1. We've won 1-1. You know, we've just done it all. And I think a credit to our staff and this, you know, group of 26 that we found a lot of ways to get it done.
Now, the staff is a little different as you go into this year. Lindsey Lefwich went to North Carolina State to become coach there. How has it been with the change? It seems like everything is just picked up with no issues.
Yeah, I think we are so proud of Coach Lindsey for going and being the head coach there. She's an incredible, incredible human, and was part of the reason that this team is the way it is. Like I said, we're all very old. We got a lot of seniors on this team, and she had us for 3 years and is a huge part of where we are today. But like you said, it really has picked up right where we left off. Bryce Neal has been a great addition to our staff. He is so positive and so committed to knowing us individually and coaching us individually. And that's something that I know that I appreciate so much. Like, I don't need to be coached the same way that Taylor Pleasance does, or that Sierra Briggs does, or that Maddie McKee does. We're all very, very different, and we take coaching in different ways. So his commitment to learning us in 6-7 months, that's really hard. Like, imagine trying to know 26 people really, really well and coach them to be the best they can be in 6 months.
I would like his jacket, though, he had yesterday.
In the vest?
The yes.
Okay, was, okay. So this is funny.
Okay.
Oh, here we go, inside.
So you have to – we needed a rally there, you know, in the sixth inning. We were, it was 2-2. It was the sixth inning. We kind of couldn't get anything going, like, against a really good Kentucky pitching staff. And you have to sacrifice something for the hits, right? So, of course, we've all got on, like, 7 jackets. So that was, like, the bottom layer. But he was already, like, 3 jackets and a shoe down. And you know what? We kept getting hits, so you got to keep taking them off. Coach Dobson said, listen, now, if we get down – if we get down to no shirt, we're just going to have to put a stop to it. The inning's going to have to be over. But even just with things like that, he has bought into us so quickly. That is something unique to us. Pam and Quinn are the sacrifice officiators, and they're like, Bryce, you got to give something up. And he was like, all right, here, take whatever it is. But the way that he has bought into us so quickly, definitely a testament to him and how much he wants to be here and is committed to making us better, has really pushed us forward, for sure.
And we have a head coach who's not the least bit superstitious.
Oh,
you know, I mean, you know, lineup card's going to be made out the same way. Her and Patrick have to stand in the same spot if they won yesterday when they did the interview. So, I mean, you know.
Well, it sounds like to me, Kent, you just need to get near the dugout, and then when they have that go on again, you might be able to get that jacket.
You
might. Just be there to kind of say, oh, I got it for you, Coach.
And then here, I'll take it.
Kind of wander off. Again, some chances to see LSU softball again. SEC play underway. We're taping here on Monday. A big midweek game with Texas coming in to Tiger Park. Going to be an early start on Tuesday, 11 a.m. They'll get started from the circle. And then this coming weekend, kind of the SEC home opener against Ole Miss Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It'll get started on Saturday at 6 o'clock again at Tiger Park. You know, before a couple of more questions for you, Allie. Again, Allie Newland, our guest. We're thrilled to have her here, senior outfielder for LSU softball. You know, we talked to Beth Tarina following or maybe midway through fall practice.
Okay.
And I got the sense from her, and Kent, I think you did as well, that, you know, the last couple of years they kind of knew where they were missing some things. But it also was a sense that maybe you didn't get everything you wanted out of the team, and the team realized that. And it almost seemed like there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder going into 2024, which I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is a good thing when you're 22-0, because, again, it kind of helps, as we said earlier, keep your feet on the ground when you guys got something to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so fun to get to play with that kind of attitude, because we're just proving what we already knew. Like, 22-0 is what we knew we could do. We never had a doubt about that. So to get to show the rest of the rest of the country that, like, LSU softball is here to do this thing and is a very, very talented team, very committed team, to even get to 22-0 was awesome. But you have to keep that chip on your shoulder a little bit, you know, especially when, like, target's on your back a little bit. Everybody's like, oh, they're getting too much media attention. They lost in this last year. They did this last year. And so for us to just have moved on I told everybody at the beginning of the year, like, on February 9th or whatever opening day was, like, we can't beat ULL. Like, you can't go back and play that game again. You can't go back and, like, play the games in Arizona again. You can't do it. So just to be all here and all in on this team and, like, just be committed to who this team is and to be as successful as this team can be has been awesome. But definitely a little bit of a chip there to just prove that, like, we're as good as we always knew we were.
Again, Allie, I wanted to brag on you a little bit before we wrap up because I mentioned what you've done so far, not only this year, but over the years here as a Tiger. But not only what you do on the diamond, but off the diamond. And I know multiple times you've been selected for the Service Award, SEC Service Award. And you mentioned earlier that part of the reason you came to LSU is because of the support they have for all student athletes, mm-hmm. but certainly for women's athletics. It's not just something you came and took advantage of. I like the fact that you're also taking that example and doing it yourself in the community. Tell us about what that means to you and how you're involved with the Baton Rouge and Louisiana community.
Yeah, I think that Baton Rouge is such a special place. We kind of touched on it earlier that they're sold out for you, the fans that fill the stands are. And so I think it's such an easy choice to then go sell out for them. To buy into this community that has like given me so many opportunities to be an LSU athlete, to get my degree, to do all of those things. So it's less of a choice and more of a like I get to do this for this group of people. So I've been incredibly blessed. I'm so glad that LSU is the place that God had for me. So to get to serve His people, the ones that are here and have really bought into me and sold out for what I'm trying to do here and for what the Tigers are trying to do here is awesome, but an awesome chance to get to serve them the way that they have for me the last 4 years.
Can you understand why she would love to get into broadcasting when
I was going to save it to the very end, but you know, Patrick Wright, whom you know, who we all love, you know, if you decide once the playing days are done, if you hang around Louisiana and Baton Rouge, and certainly if you just come back into town, by all means, we need to make sure that seat is there in the press box. I think she would be fantastic on the air breaking down the game with Patrick, and I know he would love it.
Oh, I know. He threw me out of the booth about 13 years into the program.
I think he misses you now.
We had some fun, but I do want her to talk about our pitching staff a little bit, and I want to say it and bringing that point up. When Patrick and I were doing the games in the early years at the old Tiger Park, if you had one good dominant pitcher who could pitch 90% of the season, you were going to be a big winner. You know, this game has changed so much now that you really need a pitching staff, and LSU certainly has that this year. With a number of different looks and a number of different type pitchers that Beth can bring in. And just like your thoughts on this pitching staff.
They're unbelievable. I think if you can find me another program in the country that threw five shutouts from five different pitchers on opening weekend, then I'd tell you you're lying because it didn't happen. But this group is just incredible, and I think that they can do so many different things well. Their personalities all go so well together. Obviously, like Sydney Berzon headlining this bullpen, just an unbelievable talent. She's so funny. But she's definitely their leader, and I think her composure on the mound brings a lot to them and brings a lot to our defense. She's not scared, like, ever of anybody. And the defense feels that, and it makes us confident in what she's doing and confident in what we're doing after that. So she certainly leads them and does a great job of it after that. Of course, you have Kelly Lynch and Raylan Chafin, who have been unbelievable in their own right, who've thrown some great games. They were excellent this weekend and kept us in both of those games that were that were tight late. They gave us a chance to win. They gave the offense a chance to get it done for them. So big credit to them. And then you have Emma Strood and Emily Casanova, who, again, like a shutout on opening weekend and have worked so hard to put themselves in a position to throw some innings this year. And I'm sure that if you ask Sid and Ray and Kelly, like, they don't get to be who they are without the rest of the staff. Like, Sid can't throw every inning, or Kelly can't throw every inning. And so to have three, four other pitchers who can go in and, like, shut the door on some people, it just allows them to be even better. the offense loves them. The defense loves playing behind them. And I'm ready to run through a wall for all of them in the outfield. And I would say the rest of our outfield feels the same. But they are the first ones to celebrate us. They're the first ones to congratulate the offense and make us better. And something that maybe the average fan doesn't know, we hit off of them all fall. And so they have made us so good because we get to walk into conference play and into the regular season, and there's nothing we haven't seen. Like, we have some of the best arms in the country, and we got to hit off of them all fall. I know that by the time we got to February, I was like, God, I don't want to hit off these people anymore. I got to hit off of somebody else. But such a testament to them and how they have prepared us and how they continue to celebrate us no matter what.
Sure.
Well, again, it's great to have you here, Allie. It's congratulations on the early success. Still a lot of softball left to be played. And again, just want to remind fans, coming off the Kentucky sweep, it'll be Texas at Tiger Park, 11 a.m. on Tuesday, and then Saturday, Sunday, and Monday back at Tiger Park, SEC play. It'll be LSU and Ole Miss.
Early pregame meal Tuesday at that 11 a.m.
You guys are going to have to take your lunch break early.
Yeah.
So, pack Tiger Park. It'll be a good one.
There you go. There are the orders to be there for LSU and Texas. Allie, congratulations again on the start to the season. Best of luck the rest of the way. And like I said, when you're ready to step into the broadcast booth, you just give Patrick a call. Just tell Patrick you'll join him.
All right.
And he'll be thrilled. And, again, it's a pleasure to have Allie Newland from Bremen, Georgia, again, senior outfielder for LSU softball. She's been our guest this week on Play by Play. That's going to wrap things up for us. I want to thank Allie for joining us, Harrison Valentine for putting it all together, and the illustrious Kent Lowe. I'm Chris Blair, and until next week, saying so long, everybody, and go Tigers!